1 Samuel chapter number 17. And today is Defeat Your Giant Sunday. And I know all the Sunday school classes were doing a lesson on David and Goliath. And I thought, well, we shouldn't be any different. We'll do a lesson on David and Goliath. And kind of a different thought, maybe a different concept. And I know Pastor will be preaching on some stuff like that this morning also. But we're going to be in we'll kick it off in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I got thinking about that this week, and I was working on slingshots last night. Dad was helping me on slingshots, and we made 10 slingshots for the young people that they can shoot paintballs at the giants out there. So pray for us that all goes well. You give slingshots in the hands of minors, sometimes that's never good, especially when they've never used one before. It could be interesting. I built some special ones last night for the little kids because it's hard for a little kid to pull it back without, you know, doing the whole, you know, you pull it back and you start swinging it thing. You know what I mean? So I made some for the little kids. They're stationary, so they just pull it back with two arms. And so we'll see. Hopefully that works without anybody getting killed. We're going to be in 1 Samuel. And I got thinking about this last night and even some earlier this week. So 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Starting in verse number 4. Look down at verse number 4. Most of you know this story, so I'm not going to kind of abbreviate this. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits. And a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. That's extremely heavy. This guy was a monster. Okay? And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And then it goes into how he defies Israel, and he insults Israel, and he insults Israel's God. And then, so we'll jump down to verse number 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. All right, verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. All right, let's pray, and then we'll continue this story. And I want to talk about David's little things this morning. David's little things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. God, as we look into your word, and we're talking about giants today. And Lord, I believe that there's giants in everyone's life. Very few of them are the same, but we all have these giants. We have these things that we have to face. And Lord, I pray that you give us the strength to face these giants, and Lord, whatever they may be, I pray that you would just help us with these things. Lord, I pray that you'd guide us, guide my words this morning. Lord, I want to say only what you have me to say, and thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. We know in this story that David's about ready to face his giant, but honestly, David's not just facing his giants. David is facing Israel's giants, because if you think about this story, that Goliath has been coming out for over 40 days, right? And he's been taunting Israel for these 40 days, and he keeps saying, you know, bring somebody. Just give a man that can fight me, okay? And so Israel is being taunted by this. And if you're unfamiliar with battle back then, sometimes they would actually, instead of a full-fledged fight, they would actually send out four or five of their best, each side would. And they would, those would fight together. I don't know if you remember the story when Joab, I think it was Joab, and I can't remember the other guys, maybe it's Amnon. I don't remember. But Joab, they said, let the young men rise up and play before us. And so all these, they had, I don't remember how many there were, but they each came and they each grabbed their fellow, the fellow soldier that they were against, and they both, you know, stabbed each other basically, and they all fell down dead. Okay, all of them. Well, that was very typical. A lot of times they would have, you know, their best fighter come out. Instead of having the whole army wage a war, they'd have their best guy come out and they would fight in that way. So, but Israel, they didn't have anyone. I mean, the Bible tells us that Saul stood head and shoulders above any of the others, right? I mean, you would think that King Saul would have been, okay, I got to go face this giant for, not just for myself, but for my people. But he wasn't willing to do that. He wasn't willing to do that. And we see here David, and you know the story. David hears the giant. He hears Goliath taunting Israel. And he says, is there not a cause? And he asks about this. And he says, I'll go fight this giant. I'll go fight this giant. And so David comes and he goes before Saul. And you all know the story. Saul tries to give him his armor. His armor doesn't fit. Saul tries to give him his, you know, his weapons. His weapons, he doesn't know how to use them. He's never tried them. So he said, I don't want to trust in what man is giving me. I'm going to trust in what God's giving me. Okay, so David comes to this fight. And you know the story. He comes out against Goliath. And he goes to the brook. And he picks up five smooth stones. That's what the Bible says. Five smooth stones. We're giving all the kids five shots today. Five paintballs. We're trying to teach them a lesson here. But he gets five smooth stones. And I don't know, everybody says is for his brothers. I don't know. I just think who goes into battle with one shot? You know what I mean? I mean, I may need five of them. I don't know. I don't know why. I just know that I wouldn't have enough faith, because it doesn't say he took a sword, because he used Goliath's sword to cut his head off. Okay, all that we know is that he had a slingshot. Okay, now he had enough faith to go, but I don't know that he had enough faith to say that I'm going to hit him with the first shot. Does that make sense? Okay, and I know, you know, you could go to all kinds of, well, this is the reason. I just think he wanted extra shots. That's my personal opinion. Okay, he wanted a few more bullets in his clip, right? So he's going out and he picked up five smooth stones. And he went out and he faced this giant. And the Bible says he ran towards him. And he's running towards him and he flings this stone. And I believe God directed that stone. And it hit him right, you know, where he didn't have that protection. And he hit him right there and in between the eyes. And the Bible says the stone sunk into his forehead. Okay? Now, we was talking on the bus this morning. I was messing with the kids. And we was talking about on the bus that, you know, how did Goliath die? Well, the Bible says that he stood on him and he cut his head off. That's how he died. I don't know if he would have eventually, you know, you slink a stone into somebody's head, that's pretty detrimental to their health. So I don't know what all happened there, but God directed that stone and Goliath fell down and David went up and he cut his head off. And we have this wonderful victory. And so we see David killed Goliath. But what I was thinking about is, okay, what led up to that? What led up to that? Because I guarantee that wasn't the first time that David had picked up five smooth stones and stuck them in his scrip. Okay? That wasn't the first time he had picked those up. That wasn't the first time that he had ever held the slingshot. Right? Okay? I mean, I know God is a God of miracles, and God could have used anything. But God used what David was familiar with. I mean, obviously, because why wouldn't have David said, well, I'll just put this armor on. I've never used it, but this is what everybody else uses. So I'm going to go use what everyone else uses to defeat this giant. You know, I don't think that that's true. I think in every one of our lives, like I said earlier, we've got giants. You know, I think as you get older, some of the giants, get to be your health, things like that, that... It's like, man, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. And I think as we get different stages of life, you know, when you're younger, you know, my age and my generation, you know, your finances, the balance, the time that you have to try to balance your family and the ministry and work and keeping everything balanced, that can be a large giant. You know, keeping everything afloat when you're younger sometimes is a large giant. You know, working on your marriage and you know, for us, that can be, you know, that can be giants in our lives. And so I think that there are things that each one of us, and it doesn't mean that what works for one family will work for another family. Does that make sense? I mean, well, this worked for us, okay? This worked for this person back here, but it doesn't mean that it necessarily is going to defeat their giant. Does that make sense? Because everyone has your own personal giants. And, you know, later on, we see that David actually came up against another giant. And you know what? David wasn't able to defeat that giant. Somebody else came and defeated that giant. Okay? And so I believe that, you know, we've all got these giants. We've got these big things that loom in front of us. Okay? These things that we feel like, if I don't defeat this, and this is, you think about this, if David didn't win this, it means he lost everything. Literally. If David didn't win this fight, he lost everything. Okay? Now, like I said, David had a lot more faith than me. I wouldn't have, for one, I would have had a lot of rocks, okay? And I would have started a long way back, all right? And, you know, you get as you get closer, you just start flinging rocks, and hopefully, the closer you get, you know, but, you know, the farther away I can hit the guy, the better, right? The Bible says David ran towards him. He took off running right towards the giant. And I'm afraid I don't have faith sometimes like that. So I got thinking about David's little things, because it isn't the fact that David necessarily came out that day with just this intent that I'm gonna go face some giants. When he left that sheepfold, I don't even know that David knew about Goliath. I don't think he did. Because based on what the Bible says, his conversation, I don't think he really knew who this guy was. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this guy? Okay? He didn't know it. He didn't go into this day prepared for this. You know, Brother Shaver here, I don't think he went into that day prepared for that giant. In the sense that he didn't go prepared to expect to hear about cancer. But there's been other things in Brother Shaver's life, and he referenced them in his letter, that whether he realizes or not, has prepared him for that giant. And so I'm going to talk about these little things, some little things this morning, and there's a ton of little things that we can talk about, a ton of them. But I'm going to talk, I picked out three, and I kind of went to Psalms, I kind of went to a few different stories, well-known stories in the Bible, and I want to talk about David's little things. David's little thing. So first of all, I want to say this. David knew how to enjoy little things. David knew how to enjoy little things. Okay? It wasn't always the mountaintop experiences, I think, for David. This morning, we're getting that time of year as we come to the buses, and you know, a lot of you guys get up early, you know, and you see the sunrise. And, you know, I never want to get to the place where I don't notice the sunrise. I never want to get to a place where I don't notice the little things, and I'm not thankful for the little things. But he knew how to enjoy just the little things, okay? He knew how to enjoy the little things. Go to Psalms chapter 19. We're just going to flip through. I pulled out some scripture, just some little things that I think that David knew. It wasn't just the giant fighting things. It was the little things that helped him defeat the big things. Okay? It was those little things that helped him have victory in the big things. Psalm chapter 19, verse number 1. David knew how to enjoy the little things. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. You know what I think? One of the things David was grateful for every day that he had. You know, I think David could look back in his life and he could say, yeah, remember that day I beat Goliath? I mean, how could you not forget that day? You would never, ever forget that day. But I think he was able to do that because there was day after day. You know, David knew what it was to look up at the firmament because he was a keeper of sheep. He knew what it was to lay there at night and everything was quiet and he could hear God's creation, he could hear nature, and he could look up and he could, and the Bible says he declares the glory of God. You know what declare means? It means to speak, to declare, to pronounce. The firmament showeth his handiwork, day unto day uttereth speech. Uttereth speech. You know, the morning when it came up in the morning, and here's what I want to challenge you. I know you got giants, okay? I know we all have giants, but don't always just look at the giants. Look at the little things that come every day as a blessing. You know, you're here this morning. That's a blessing. Some of you, it took a lot of effort for you to be here this morning. It did. And I don't discount that. That's a giant. But be thankful that you have another day that you can face a giant. Okay? Be thankful that you have that day. Okay? So be thankful for the little things. I think David was thankful for the flowers. I wonder when he was walking out to, you know, you kind of get, I don't know, I do. If you can separate yourself mentally from the situation you're in and notice little things. Like when you're going to do something, did you notice did he notice the flower? What did he notice down by the stream by the brook when he got those 5 smooth stones? Okay? What did he notice? Notice the little things. Notice the skies in the morning. It was a red sky this morning, and I talked to my kids this morning about the red sky at night, sailor's delight, red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. And Gwen, she's very philosophical. Like she gets this look and she thinks about things and then she'll try to repeat it in her 6-year-old mannerism, basically trying to describe what you talked about. And so she was trying to tell me what that meant, you know, in her 6-year-old way this morning. But you know, it was beautiful. I don't want to displace that. Okay, I don't want to displace that. Psalms chapter number 16. Flip back just a couple pages. Psalms chapter 16. David, I believe, noticed the little things. He knew how to enjoy these little things. Psalms chapter 16. Look at verse number 11. Actually, I don't think I have the right reference there. Mm-hmm. Nope, that's not the right reference. That's what I had down, so I apologize. Go to Psalms chapter 8. I must have written down the wrong thing. Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. And then he says this, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Brother Chad, why is it important that you notice, that you learned how to enjoy the little things when it comes to defeating your giant? And here's, I'm bringing this kind of back to a nutshell. Because I think if you know who created the little things, then you'll know, like David here in Psalms chapter number 8, look at verse number 4 again. What's this question that he asked? What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man? What is man? You know, I think when David stood before Goliath that day, And yeah, there's a huge giant in front of him. But then he thought back to laying in, you know, out in the pasture at night and looking up in the stars, and he thought, okay, God, if you created all that, what is this? What is this? You know, and he even references that when he talks to Goliath. All right? He even references the Lord and how, you know, Goliath, you're nothing compared to what God is to me. Okay? Why is it important that we enjoy the little things? When you know who created those little things, and when you know everything that's involved in those little things, then these giants, they kind of shrink a little bit when you compare them to all these other things. Yeah, it's, you know, the sky's a big thing, but you realize, you know, when David looked at the grass, and he knew that every, you know, I don't know that David knew, you know, about photosynthesis and all this stuff that scientists know today, but he knew that that grass grew when it got water and it got sunshine. That's amazing, okay? When David could see a new lamb being born and the new life, and that he knew that God created that. What is that giant? What is that, okay? So David learned to enjoy the little things. David knew how to be thankful for little things. David knew how to be thankful for little things. And that kind of goes back to enjoying little things. But go to 1 Chronicles. Go to 1 Chronicles. We see this later on in David's life. This is the story that came to my mind anyway. 1 Chronicles. Bro Chad, I got this giant in front of me. I know. Most of us do. Most of us have these giants. But be thankful for the little thing. Be thankful for the little things. You know, be thankful. Some people are like, man, I've got this health problem, or I don't know. I think about this. You know, a lot of folks have, when you get older, you get diabetes and that, you know, that type of thing, or a different health problem. And a lot of it, you got to watch what you eat, right? You know, you got to watch kind of your diet. Your diet, when you're my age and younger, you know, you can pretty much eat whatever you want, right? I mean, unless you have a predominant health problem, you can pretty much just, you know, you drink the pop and you eat whatever you want. You eat whenever you want. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Now, you know, you want to eat before 5 o'clock and, you know, nothing spicy, and you got to watch your sugar, and you got to be careful, right? You got to be careful about these things. And sometimes we look at, well, this is a giant. And I know this is a silly illustration, but I think it'll illustrate it well. Sometimes we look at, I got to be careful about this. I wish I could eat whatever I could. But I want you to be thankful about the little things, because be thankful that you can eat. Be thankful that you don't have a tube that you have to be fed with. Does that make sense? Be thankful that the only nutrition that you get is not an IV. Okay? I always think about, you know, my mom was always, she was always one of the ones, she didn't do it a lot, but, you know, make sure you eat all the food on your plate, because there are millions of starving children in Africa that wish they could have what was on your plate. You know, that type of guilt trip thing. It was like, I don't care. I know that's terrible, but eat your food. But then I was never a big thing, but then my nephew now, Silas, you know, he can only eat like 3 or 4 food items, period. That's like all he can eat. And I got thinking, you know, I'm glad I can eat pretty much everything. I mean, I do. I can pretty much eat anything I want. And I'm thankful for, yeah, it's a giant sometimes, and I want that to make sense. You know, sometimes I hurt all day today. I couldn't get up. I couldn't get going. But I'm glad I'm still up. I'm not laying in a hospital bed. You know, nobody in here this morning is laying in a hospital bed this morning. Right? So be thankful for those little things. Be thankful for the little things. I tell you, 1 Chronicles, did I tell you that? Chapter 11. I don't know if I told you that. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. This one illustrates David enjoying little things and also being thankful for little things. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse number 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 16. And David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. Now this is important. David's in a hold. He's in a fort. And his garrison, the Philistines' garrison, their stronghold is in Bethlehem. Remember where David is from? Bethlehem. David's from that area. So this will explain verse 17. The Bible says, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate. Why did he want just a drink of water? Because I think when David was a boy, he would go to that well of Bethlehem, and he knew how to enjoy a drink of water. That water to him was different than any other water. Because as a boy, it wasn't just, I'm going to get a drink and I'm going to go do whatever. I think as a boy, he took a drink and, man, that's good. That's good. He learned to enjoy the little things, okay? And because of that, he just absent-mindedly said, oh, that I could just have a drink of that water of the well that is by Bethlehem. Very specifically. Man, that was so good. That was so good. I still remember that. Some of you probably still remember something that maybe your mom made, you know, when you were younger or something, that was like the best. Man, mom made this that was the best. And, you know, you've had several variations of it since then, but never quite the same. And it's kind of like that. David was like, man, I really want that. I really want a drink of that water. And he had some mighty men. He had three mighty men that heard him say that. Okay? So let's continue reading. And the three, this is talking about his mighty men, break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord and said, my God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest. You know what? And some people say, why didn't he drink it? To him it was sacred water. Not the fact that it was from the water of Bethlehem, but the fact that these three men gave their lives, literally, the risk of their lives to bring him this water. So David enjoyed the water as a young man, but then he showed it the thankfulness of just a drink of water. Okay? You say, Brother Chad, how can I be thankful for the little things sometimes? I just taught this. I'm going to give you just a couple things here. I think thankfulness must be done on purpose. Okay, thankfulness must be done on purpose. How do you be thankful for the little things? You got to be thankful on purpose. You got to be thankful on purpose. Because if you're not thankful on purpose, we by nature are unthankful people. That's just our human nature. That's our flesh. That's our sin nature. We're selfish. Be thankful for the little things. Be thankful for, the grass. Well, I got to mow the yard again today. Hey, be thankful you're not in Arizona where they have, you know, sand they rake instead of grass. All right? I'm thankful for it. Be thankful for the little things. Be thankful for the light bulbs. I'm thankful for light bulbs. I'm thankful for, you know, when I go back and I flush the toilet that, you know, it just flushes. I don't think about all that. I just flush it. I'm thankful when I push the little button on the, you know, on the water fountain back there, that cold water comes out. You know, I don't have to go out and I don't have to draw out of a well and pour into a cup. And, you know, but many times we do these things by nature. You know, I'm thankful where you have air conditioning. You know, it's pretty cool outside today, but this room could get really warm really fast with, you know, 200 people in here. I'm thankful for air conditioning. And many times we just go through life and what do you have to do? You have to be thankful on purpose. Look for things. Look for things. Secondly, be thankful. Realize what it costs. Realize what it costs. You know why David was thankful for that water? It's because he knew what it costs. to get that water. Okay? Be thankful for those little things. I think David was thankful. He learned to enjoy the little things. You know, enjoy your air conditioner. Hey, I love it. I'm thankful for it. Enjoy it, but then be thankful for it. Enjoy the lights that we have. Enjoy them. Glad we're not sitting in darkness, but be thankful for it. Enjoy when you start your car, that it runs and you can get to church without having to walk. Be thankful for that. Okay? Enjoy it. I'm not saying don't enjoy it. Enjoy it. But then be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. Because if we'll do those things, then when giants come, be like, yes, but look what you've done for me, God. Look at the heavens. Look at all you've done for me. If you can do that for me, you can help me beat this giant. Okay? So be thankful for the little things. Lastly, on little things, David knew the importance of learning little things. And I think this is important. David knew the importance of learning little things. What if David wouldn't have taken time to learn how to be a good shepherd? You know what made, and I didn't write this down, I thought about this last night after I was laying in bed. You know what made David a great king was because he was a good shepherd. That's what made David a great king. Undoubtedly, David is probably one of the best kings. I mean, I think you talk to anyone, David is probably the best king Israel ever had. Honestly. Okay? But what made David a great king? Because he was a good shepherd. He knew how to care for the sheep. He knew how to get them to follow him. You know, Psalms chapter 23, the Lord is, it goes into about the Lord being our shepherd. And I know we called God the good, you know, Jesus the good shepherd. But Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, a part of being a good shepherd is making sure the sheep had what they needed. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. All right? And David learned how to be a great king because he was a good shepherd. David learned how did David know what kind of rocks to pick up that day? How did David know that? I think it's because at some point, I mean, David's picking up rocks all the time. My dad was telling me, last night he was helping me with slingshots. He said his grandpa, of course, he walked to town all the time. He would carry a slingshot with him to town. And my dad said that he could hit a power line with his slingshot. He'd just walk along and he'd pick up rocks and he'd shoot them. And, you know, he'd shoot them at the power line. And, you know, I'm sure he shot other stuff, but that was, you know. But, I mean, you think about a power line, that's not a real big target. In my preparation for, you know, this day, I watched a couple guys that were good with slingshots. And they're not the slingshot like David used slingshot. They didn't have latex back then. But they're regular, like what we, you know, everybody used to carry in their back pocket slingshot. And guys will split playing cards, cut playing cards in half. So they'll, you know, playing card sideways, and they can cut them in half with a slingshot. That's pretty good shots. I couldn't do that. That's pretty good. But how did he know what rocks to pick up? Because he learned that up on the mountain. I want this one. Okay. I've shot slingshots quite a bit, and I know that you change your ammo and it changes the trajectory. It changes everything. It changes how it hits. It changes everything. So he had to get something that he knew, okay? David up on that mountain, he knew how to face scary situations, okay? I think that lion for David on that day was his giant. That bear on that day was David's giant. He wasn't even thinking about Goliath. He didn't even know who Goliath was. But he had to face the giant of that day to prepare him for the giant that was to come. But David knew how to learn little things. He knew how to learn those things. And I want to encourage you, don't ever get to the place that you quit learning. Don't ever get to the place that you quit learning. You know, you can always learn something. I learn something every day. And I try to. I make a purpose of learning something every day. Something new, something different. And the Bible talks about, and I should have written the verse down. I just read it the other day in Proverbs. but it talks about better is a wise child than an old and foolish king or something like that. It says something like that. And it, you know, some years don't make you wise. Okay? Just because someone's older doesn't mean that they're wiser. You know what makes you wise is seeking wisdom. Getting in the Word of God and figuring out, you know, what did you learn in your devotions today? What did you learn in your Bible this past week? Well, I've been going to church for 30 years. But did you get something new this week? Did you learn something new? It can be a little thing. It could be a little story. I love it when people come up and they say, hey, did you ever, I'll be teaching through something, and they'll come up and afterwards and they'll say, hey, did you ever notice this in this story? I'm like, I never saw that. Okay, be willing to learn little things. It's not always about the big thing. You know, the chopping of the head of Goliath off, that's kind of a big deal, right? But it's not real hard to do. Does that make sense? I mean, you just pick it up and you chop his head off. But that slingshot took years of practice. Years of him learning how to do little things. I think he'd be walking through a field, he'd pick up a rock and he'd fling it at a flower and see if he could knock the top of a flower off. Okay? I think he did. But he learned how to do the little things. He learned how to do the little things. David enjoyed the little things. He knew how to be thankful for the little things. And he learned little things. And all those little things put together, God saw somebody that was able to be used. And God saw somebody that was able to, okay, if this young man can pay attention to the little things, I can use him to defeat the big things. Okay? But it all comes back, I really believe it, all comes back. Why couldn't Eliab have been used? His eldest brother. Why couldn't he have been used? Well, maybe at some point he decided that he was, you know, he thought himself too good. And we can go that. I believe that. I believe that about Eliab. Because he was rejected. The Lord said he was rejected from being king. Okay? And so David knew the importance of little things. Got to defeat your giant? Go back to the little things. Enjoy the little things, be thankful for the little things, learn little things, and there's all kinds. We could have gone into a lot of little things, but those are just three that I picked out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. God, Luke 16:10 says that if we can be faithful in that which is least, we'll also be faithful in much. And Lord, if we're negligent in that which is least, we'll also be negligent in that which is the greatest that you give us to do. Lord, help us to pay attention to these little things in our lives. Help us to not neglect these things and be thankful, enjoy them, learn, and help us to defeat the giants that you give us. And we'll give you the praise and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.